Welcome to episode 363 of the official Game Stitch podcast. I'm Ryan Walton, and as always, I'm joined by Dan Reamer.
Good morning.
Morning. Special announcement. Producer Gerald's mic'd up this morning.
Woohoo.
Hey, everybody.
Mic'd up. We're full squad this morning.
Full bore.
If squad is three.
Batman, Robin, and the third guy.
Then the third guy.
Alfred.
You can be Alfred. Yeah, you can be Alfred.
Yeah, I'll be Alfred. No problem. He's in no danger. You know, at the house, making stuff, tea, whatnot. I could do that. Now, the real question is which one of you is Robin?
I don't think that's the question at all, personally.
Oh,
but
man.
It's going to be too hard to tell.
I don't think that's what he meant.
It's not what I meant.
It's too close. I get it. It's too close. What's his face that played Robin is on that NCIS show, so it's not the worst gig.
What's his face that played Robin? Oh, Chris O'Donnell, yeah.
Chris O'Donnell, yeah. He's on NCIS Los Angeles.
Yeah, but he played the Robin in the stupidest movies, in the worst Batman movies.
Is he the worst Robin in the worst Batman movie, is what you're saying?
Yeah. I guess more or less you can put it that way, yeah.
Shots fired. At Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah, I'm sure Chris O'Donnell gives two fucks what I got to say about
him. He's a big listener of the show. Him and LL.
Yeah? Oh, they're both jamming? We've talked about LL before, actually.
Yeah, he's had prominent spots in the show before. What's it? What's the Ladies Love? Ladies Love? Cool James.
Ladies Love Cool James. That's right.
Something like that. You could be Ladies Love Producer Gerald. LLPG.
Yeah, you can LLPG.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
So, as you could tell, this is different. This is a different episode. We promised you something special last week or 2 weeks ago or whatever. And unlike most promises that we make, we decided to follow through with this one.
Could we do that all the time?
Mm-hmm. Because it's probably like a month ago, Dan sent me a message and was like, we should do a game of the decade, or a list of the decade.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, let's bring Producer Gerald from behind the glass, let's throw a chair through the glass, let him climb through, and let's just all get mic'd up and go through our top 10 list of our games of the decade.
Indeed.
And that's what we're doing today. So a little bit different. Last week was different, I know. This week is also going to be different. Told you the week after we'll be back on a regular format. But we just wanted to do something a little different. Now, unlike a lot of sites, we talked about this with the Game of the Year stuff. We all do separate lists. No need to argue.
Yes.
So we're just going to count down our list. We'll go one by one. I think all of these are in no particular order.
Yes. It's also important to note that this isn't a best game. This isn't greatest game of the decade. This is just essentially the 10 of us making up a list of games that were important to us for whatever reason, whether it was fun or influential or stuck in our mind or whatever. It's not a definitive, you know, oh, these were the best games of this decade.
Right.
I don't think that's really something you can possibly do.
Just three of us, too. You said 10 of us.
Yeah, I was about to point that out, too.
Did I?
Yeah, you're like, it's just the 10 of us.
I'm messing up my 10s and 2s, and, you know, there's 10 games. There's 10 in a decade.
They're not the best games. They're the list of games we came up with when we did this. I think all of our lists are unique to us. I have not heard your list. Either one of your lists, and I'm sure that they work the same way mine do. There's some stuff that people would probably agree with, some stuff that people will disagree with. If you ask me to make this list tomorrow, it'd probably look totally different. I've been toying with this list. I had about half the list done, and then going into yesterday, I had to sit down and just eliminate stuff because my list was like 20 games.
You really had to go down, huh?
Yeah. Really? So I had five that I felt were a lock, and the other ones I just had to make a decision. Took a shower, thought about it in the shower, and I came out with what I think is an okay list. But again, this is not a definitive. We didn't go off the Metacritic score. This is just our list that we put together.
Right.
Individually.
Right.
And I've had no conversations with either of you, so I don't know what you did.
None of us have conversed about any of these. So it's really going to be, I'm looking forward to this. I'm excited. I think it's going to be super interesting.
Again, no order, so I'm not even going to count them off in order. We'll just start with the first game. I've been blabbing on, so Gerald, give us your first game.
Uncharted 4.
Uncharted 4.
Uncharted 4.
A little nasty Nate Drake.
Yeah.
Making the list.
How come?
It was one of the games that, if the top 10 game that I played, it made my list. I had about 13 games total, and I had to knock like 3 of them off.
How early did you put Uncharted on there? How sure were you like Uncharted, or specifically Uncharted 4 is on this list?
It was like the make it or break it. It was at the end.
Gotcha.
So that was one of the ones that probably could have been substituted for something else, is what you're saying?
Yeah, so if I did this next week, it might not make it.
Okay.
Damn, now, Nate hates to hear that.
Now, I guess why? Why does that game make the list as opposed to some others you played?
Yeah, I don't know. I like that game a little bit better than some of the others.
Damn it with your hard questions, Dan. This list is supposed to be fun.
Hey.
This is what journalism sounds like.
That's
folks.
Right.
probably, I don't know, because I think I sat through, got beat through that game maybe in a couple days compared to other games where I stopped and started back over weeks later.
Yeah. That's called Ryan it when you just.
So it was a game that you were so into that you played it consistently through over time to the end. There was no stop time, pause time, any of that. You were so intrigued by everything it did that it just kind of kept you into it.
A lot of mine are like that.
Got it. What?
You want to go next, Dan?
I can go next.
Or do you want me to go next? Because mine is probably transitions easier.
Oh, what are you saying? Oh, mine suck? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that my game is Uncharted 3.
Yeah, okay. Fair
Drake's
enough.
Deception.
Yeah, go with that.
2011. We should say we kept it 2010 to 2009 or to 2019. I know there's some controversy about how decades work, but that seems to be the most commonly accepted method.
Yeah.
Some people say it doesn't start till 2021. It's a whole deal.
Yeah.
But we went 2010 to 2019. Much like Gerald, I loved Uncharted 3. I think actually Uncharted 2 is the best game in the franchise. But that bitch didn't come out this decade, or it would be on my list. And I felt like Uncharted had to be here because of the influence it's had on not only other games, but what I expect from my single player games, third person games.
Mm-hmm.
And between 3 and 4, I think 3 is a better game than 4. I think 4 is excellent, but I think they go 2, 3, 4, 1 if you were to rank them. So I have Uncharted 3. It's actually, much like Gerald, it was the last game I put on my list.
Yeah. Was it one that very easily could not be on there?
Yeah, because I, like I said, I had a list of like 20 games I had to narrow down. I didn't feel comfortable making a list of the decade and not putting Uncharted on there for the impact that it's had on me. Because I have loved those games.
That makes complete and total sense.
Yeah.
I'm going to start out, I'm going to go in a little bit of a different direction. Some of these games, it's important to note that we're probably going to have a few points where we all have the same games on here. So I'm going to get this one out of the way because Ryan, I have no doubt it's on yours. And I'm going with Rocket League by Psyonix, released July 7th, 2015. This game completely revamped for me and for a number of people I know how we took part in into interactive multiplayer experience. Until Rocket League came out, multiplayer wasn't really a thing in my life. I didn't do much with it, really. It was always Call of Duty, shoot everybody. Everybody was better than me. I didn't have the time to practice, so I just didn't get involved. Rocket League simplified the multiplayer down to everybody starts on the same level. You could practice or you could do it in a minimal fashion and you could still have fun because of the simplicity of what that experience brought to you. And it's actually made me get more interested in multiplayer and kind of ease off of my criticisms of multiplayer to a point. There is a place for just a casual gamer in multiplayer, and I think Rocket League really brought that to the forefront. So my game is, that's one of my games is Rocket League.
All right. We'll do that next round for me, because it's definitely on my list as well.
I knew it would be.
Gerald, do you want to fire off another one?
Okay, the next game for me would be Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go, that's interesting, a mobile pick. Before you chat about why Go is amazing, we'll recap these lists in an order that, like, we'll just run through them each person at the very end. We'll just read through our list, so don't feel like you're trying to keep up with stuff.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
See what I did there? That's probably a mobile game that I've been playing off and on. Really heavy into when we all started it, then stopped and got back onto it. Stopped and got back on. So I'm still playing as even today.
I forgot about Pokemon Go. That's a good choice. I forgot totally about it. It took the world by storm.
It did. Yeah. It really did bring kind of mobile gaming really to the forefront of everybody.
It made active.
You had 5-year-olds playing it. You had 45-year-olds playing it.
Yeah.
And everywhere in between. So, yeah, I think that's an excellent choice.
It made me go walk in public with other people.
Which is a big deal for you.
Huge deal. Public, not a fan of. Other people, not a fan of. Walking, not a fan of.
Mm-hmm. People lost weight.
Yeah.
Playing that game.
Yeah, me. That just became a fitness thing, kind of.
Yeah.
People died playing that game.
People did die playing
that game. Fitness app of the year or some shit.
Yeah. I'm not laughing about the people dying. I'm laughing about, you know, this the impact that it had. I mean, to the point where it facilitated death and stuff.
I prefer people not die playing games.
Right, me too.
But Pokemon Go was that's I guess the death toll shows you how widely played that game was.
Right.
And also the gimmick behind it does have you walking around areas that you may or may not know. But yeah.
Right.
Anything else you want to throw out about the Pokemon Go?
No, I still play it.
Do you have
if you still play it and you want to need friends or something for quests, just let me know.
Yeah, Gerald will send you shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's a giver. Probably and a receiver, but also a giver.
No, I like to give it.
Okay. Power bottom. PG. I'll do Rocket League for my game, because I'm just going to piggyback on everybody for this whole list.
Get that one out of the way.
Don't worry, it'll get weird later on. I mean, for all the things you said, you know, we all used to get on chat, but we would all kind of play whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty well now. We either play Rocket League or spend half the night going, "What do you want to play?"
Yeah.
It really has changed my expectations. I look at whether or not things are multiplayer when I buy them now, and I used to not give two shits.
Right, yep. It was the same thing for me. You and I were actually, when we first met, were very similar in our distaste for the multiplayer community.
Yeah.
And I think Rocket League completely changed that. I know it did for me, but I think it did for you as well.
Well, I still think the communities suck for the most part. I can't stand
toxic.
I'm talking
about on a personal level.
But our community, like us playing, right. Fantastic.
Yes.
It's fantastic. I could play with any of you guys any time during any game and still have fun.
Mm-hmm.
The game doesn't really even matter.
Right.
But Rocket League has facilitated that. And, you know, I feel like also it's the reason some of you will play together now that maybe wouldn't have before, too.
Yeah.
Because I think mostly I know everybody, but not all of you. Like physically know everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think all of us are comfortable to play together now just because of Rocket League. And that was my first game, like game as a service that I really bought into. Like I get the business model because of that.
Right.
So yeah, good old Rocket League.
Yeah, I knew
July 2015. It doesn't seem like that long ago. But I have 3,000 hours in that game.
I've got a ton. I don't have near that much, but I've got a lot for me.
Just stupid amount of time in there.
Yeah, I stopped playing that game a lot.
Yeah.
We know.
The thing is, though, you had a good run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your stats held up for a little while.
And the thing is you could probably jump back in at any time if you wanted to. And
get that ass whipped.
Not if he's on our team.
Get that ass whipped.
Not if you're on Ryan's team, I should say.
It's all a team. It's a team. You're up, Dan.
I'm up.
Trying to pick a game I'm about to pick.
My next pick is on October 1st, 2013, released by Rockstar North and Rockstar Games, is GTA Online. This was an add-on to the GTA 5 experience.
Mm-hmm.
Again, GTA Online, I think, completely changed the face of what an open-world game can bring to the multiplayer facet of gaming. I mean, to the point where it was still, 4 years later, top in the charts. People were just constantly coming to it. We spent a ton of time in it. You guys spent even more time in it. The best part about it was it was a multiplayer aspect where you didn't have to do anything if you didn't want to. You could literally just join this world and be an idiot. You could jump jumps. You could blow up cars. You could blow up your own car. There were no rules in this. And I know many a night, while I was trying to do something, you guys took full advantage of the no rules and just did dumb things. I think there seems to be a theme here with the multiplayer stuff, but there's really not. But it's another game that kind of brought me into the realm of multiplayer because it changed the face of what we knew multiplayer was. Oh, was that choice that bad, Ryan? You over there gagging?
No, so what I'm trying to do is put these in order. I'm reading them off because I'm going to piggyback off that too. So I'm trying to, what I don't want to do is get to the end and not remember because I'm not using order at all now.
Right.
I had them in the order. I placed them on the list, which is how I plan on reading them out, but the order is out of control. So.
As we're talking, I'm sure we're going to add games in.
I'm just trying to make a list so I know which ones I have read off so that I can cross-reference. Because when we get to like game number 9, I'm probably not going to know where I'm at. So,
gotcha.
I agree.
I'm writing them down.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. So, Gerald?
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback off that and say the same thing. But I'm new GTA 5 / online. To me, it's the same.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the game I platinum
twice.
The PlayStation 3 version and the PlayStation 4 version.
Yeah, out of control. I'll piggyback.
And I played it yesterday, too.
I'll piggyback off of your piggyback, and I have Grand Theft Auto 5 also.
Mm.
September 17th, 2013. We're like a double piggyback. Like, Gerald got on your back, and then I got on Gerald's back.
Uh-huh. So, yours is the GTA 5... the game itself.
For me, it's all together.
Yep. Yeah. For me, I did just the online portion.
Yeah. I mean, that's the part I loved, but I just see that game as one, but same idea.
Because it did come out about a month later.
Yeah.
A couple weeks later.
Yeah. So for me, it's kind of all in one, but I love it for all the same reasons that you didn't need to do the same thing.
Right.
I remember being so pumped up about the heist and that stuff finally showing up. And just, we spent a lot of time in that world. Not the kind of time that Gerald spent in that world, but we spent a lot of time in that world.
Right. Yeah.
I actually played with a couple of the members of the community in that game too.
Yes. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, community.
All right. So next up, I'm probably going to pick one that you guys might not be able to piggyback off at this point.
Thank the Lord.
Thanks. And there's probably going to be some controversy as to whether people even consider this a game or not. But I'm going with PT, released on August 12, 2014 by Kojima Productions under the pseudonym of 7780s Studios. this was actually a teaser game for a game that Kojima Productions was developing. But what happened is when this teaser was released, essentially it seems to have brought about, or, you know, at least brought to the forefront to the community, of some cracks in the armor of Kojima, Konami. And it kind of changed the whole face of what we know about Kojima, Hideo Kojima, and what he does. So much so that this game never actually came to fruition. We learned a bunch about this game, a ton of stuff that it was going to do, actors who were going to be in it. And they ended up being in his next game, Kojima's individual follow-up. This was such a controversy that Konami pulled this off of the store. They would not let people play it anymore. The only way you could continue to play this to see what could have been was to essentially make sure you never deleted it off your hard drive.
Right.
But it really, I mean, Konami and Kojima had been together for, you know, they were peas in a pod. They were peas and carrots, whatever you want to say. But they'd worked together for so long. And as soon as this released, all of a sudden, we saw these chinks in their friendship and their partnership. And it took, I mean, you've almost heard nothing from Konami since. And Kojima has pretty much been in the news for 3 years. So I don't know what that tells you, but it really brings the producer-developer relationship kind of to the forefront, both for the good and the bad. So for that reason, I've got PT.
I think it, I mean, obviously they had their problems before, and that brought it to the surface. It's real unfortunate because Silent Hills, which is what that game would have eventually turned into, right. I think it would have had staying power when you see the success of Resident Evil right now.
Right.
And it's crazy that that's your choice, because just yesterday I read a thing about they were able to get out. Someone was able to get out of the house in PT, and there's a whole world out there.
Yeah, modders got out.
Yeah, some dude just got out like last week. Like there's still stuff coming out of that demo. There's apparently a world you can walk around.
Huh. I didn't read that. It's important. Yeah. I just want to make a note. All my picks were done like a week ago.
Yeah.
Because I screwed up our.
Yeah, Dan doesn't understand order.
Games of the decade and games of the year. I thought we were doing decade last year or last week. So I had that ready to go. And then I found out, nope, it's game of the year.
Yeah, there was no give for me, too, because I was like, I need more time on decade. So you're just going to have to figure your game of the year stuff out.
But I had it done and I did not change my list.
But yeah, I just saw that. So interesting. I still have PT on there, too. I'll never play it. I don't want to shit my pants, but I have
it. I have PT as well.
Do you remember when people were selling the game system
with
PT for like thousands of dollars?
Yeah. I'm still thinking about doing that. Good old PT.
I guess I'm up.
You're up.
All right. I'm just going to throw this one out there because I'm sure this might be on someone else's list.
Great.
Last of Us.
You got The Last of Us.
That's not on my list. I'm feeling good. go ahead. Tell us your thoughts behind The Last of Us.
It's probably one of the best story campaign games that I've played. Of course, I don't play them all. Most of my picks are going to be from PlayStation 4 and mobile. I don't have an Xbox One, so I'm not going to be able to add Xbox One games on there. Now I don't have a lot of Nintendo Switch games, so I'm not going to be able to add some of those. But for me, that was one of the best games.
We're not about diversity for diversity's sake. You just pick your games.
Yeah, pick your games.
Fuck everybody
else. If you think Sea of Thieves was amazing, even though you never got to play it, that's fine.
Sea of Thieves is amazing. Not on my list, though.
That's not on my list either.
I thought Last of Us would show up on both of your lists. I'm proud to say, though, I actually get to pick without having to piggyback. So.
All right.
I'm pretty excited. I think The Last of Us speaks for itself. That game, to call it a powerhouse, I mean, No one thought that Naughty Dog would ever be able to follow up Uncharted, and especially no one thought they would ever do it in a fashion that most people perceive as better.
Right.
So that studio is truly amazing. My next pick is Journey. March 13th, 2012. Journey was an experience almost more than a game. The way they blended multiplayer without it being multiplayer, the soundtrack, the lack of dialogue, just that story, you feel that story. And I think almost every game since has taken cues from Journey in the way that, you know, if you talk to a lot of people who make games, they always say that, I want to make people feel. I want to make people feel. I think that's a game that made people feel. And I think everybody got something different out of Journey. And that was kind of the idea.
Right.
And, I love that game a lot. I think that game is excellent. And I think people, if you have never played it, I think that game would probably hold up. So, Journey.
Yeah, I platinum it.
I don't think I did.
I played it, I think, earlier this year. I think it was earlier this year was my platinum.
So, is that the first time you'd ever played it?
Yep.
How did you...
Nope, hated it.
Okay.
You platinum a game you hate.
I did not like it. I didn't like any of it.
So different than me.
Because I knew it would be an easy platinum.
Yeah. You got to open your mind, Gerald.
I did. Yeah. I played it for you. Guys.
Swallow the red pill.
It's not Call of Duty. I get it. I get it.
Yeah, I understand. Call of Duty in a long time. I don't want to hear.
How do you blow shit up in this Journey game?
Okay. The Last of Us is not on my list.
I thought for sure it would be. I thought it'd be on both of y'all's lists.
That does not
take
away from the greatness of what that game is, because I did really, really enjoy that game. But it's, with the exception of a phenomenal story, it's still an action-adventure game, essentially, with some stealth elements thrown in. So I think to go back to that, I think the story would have been the defining factor for The Last of Us, which is why it's not on my list. But my next pick is Gone Home, released on August 15th, 2013 by the Fulbright Company. For a lot of reasons, really. When I played Gone Home, it really hit me in the feels. It did things different. Essentially, a lot of people called it a walking simulator. It's a lot of investigation, a lot of exploration, a lot of reading notes, books, figuring out what is going on, where your family is, what their stories are. And it ends on a phenomenal note. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. I know it's 6 years old, but I'm still not going to. But one of the bigger reasons that Gone Home is on my list is, Gone Home is probably one of the first games that brought the social justice warrior mentality to the forefront. So much so that in many circles, Gone Home has considered to basically kick off the whole Gamergate problem that we saw occur in the middle of the decade. People had a real problem with the information, with the story it was telling and the way it was telling it. And that manifested itself online in a lot of horrible, horrible ways. And some good ways as well. But Gone Home was just developed to tell a story in a different way and be a work of art. And it totally got twisted into something else. And we still, however, see how popular the walking simulator style game is. So Gone Home was really kind of the first of its kind. They had an actual important story to tell that affected people in a major way, both good and bad. So for that reason, I've got Gone Home on my list.
Oh, I thought it was because you got to play as a teenage girl.
Do you play as a girl?
Yeah, she's coming home from college, so she could be 21, Gerald.
Yeah, you don't get to go to college at 13.
Yeah. I almost platinum that game. I got one trophy to get, one of the hard.
I'm just glad he shit on your pick, too, because he shit on mine, too. It's supposed to be a judge-free environment here, and Gerald's picking everybody's apart.
I'm sorry. I love you guys.
Pick on yours, or tell me what yours is so I can tell you it sucks.
Right, my next one is Fortnite.
Terrible.
It sucks.
It's just terrible. It's terrible. It's a bad game.
I should say Fortnite / Battle Royale.
Not the Save the World mode.
No. Save the World and Battle Royale.
Oh, you're putting together the total package.
Oh. Yeah,
just the game.
You love a good package, so that makes sense. Now, you've played predominantly on the Switch.
The Battle Royale, yes.
The Save the World, yeah. You grinded it. You did a hard grind on the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Way after we all quit playing it, you just kept playing it.
Yep.
Still playing the Save the World.
It's crazy. It's crazy that mode still exists. They still update that mode?
Yeah. They still have like extra skins and missions.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good
for
them.
Yeah, the Battle Royale, when I didn't get the last Battle Pass, Season 12s, I didn't get the free thing, so I stopped them.
Oh, you didn't qualify for the next Battle Pass?
Yeah. Well, no, I heard I earned enough V-Bucks to buy it, but I was hoping they'd give it to me for free.
Oh,
like
I got
the
you.
Other ones. Because I got Season 8, 9, 10, and 11 for free.
Fortnite has not only changed gaming and the way people game, I think it made school buses popular again, too.
School buses and YouTube millionaires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, people like them bang buses now, which is what I call the bus in Fortnite.
Yes, you do.
I think it's called a party bus. What's it called? What's the bus called?
What bus?
The Fortnite bus. It has a name.
Oh.
Battle bus, probably?
Maybe. I don't know.
Party battle bus. Someone's going to correct
us. I don't play that. Yeah, correct us on Twitter. It's fine.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah. Yeah, I'll see that for sure.
I only like it because it's a cartoon. Cartoon girls.
Makes sense.
There's some diversity in the characters you can pick in.
There is.
Fallout. Or Fallout.
Fallout.
Whatever the fuck game you said.
Fortnite.
Whatever shit pick
white,
you had.
Black, Asian, skinny, fat.
Yeah, there's some thick thighs in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
How about you, Ryan?
My next pick also features thick thighs. It is Mod Nation Racers.
Oh, yeah.
Thank the Lord it snuck in May 19th, 2010. Just under the fucking wire. If you've listened to this show for any amount of time, you know my love for Mod Nation Racers. And I'll tell you how much I love Mod Nation. I didn't feel like I could put two kart racers on my list, so I bumped Mario Kart
off
for Mod Nation. Yeah.
I get that.
I think either one could and maybe should deserve a place on there, but there was something so special about taking a game that is the closest feeling thing to Mario Kart. Because a lot of kart racers come up short. I think we can all agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about the feel of Mario Kart that is unmatched.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought United Front did something that was similar, but also their own. And I thought it came out really well. And then they did the one thing that I love more than anything in my games, and they added creation to it.
Yeah.
At a time where creation wasn't that popular, you know.
I think Little Big Planet had done it, and that was it.
Yeah, and it was part of that play, create, share thing that Sony was pushing hard, and we spent a ton of hours in there, and I fell in love with that game, and I wish that they would have made a second one, because I loved Mod Nation.
I would like to play another one, too. I liked creating. I didn't like creating tracks.
Yeah, but that's the great. You could create racers, or you could create cars, or you could create tracks. Like, there was so much. You didn't need to be good at one certain thing. If you like making people, you can make people. If you like making cars, you can make cars. If you didn't give a fuck about that, you can make tracks. If you like making it all, you can make it all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could be a bald eagle driving a golf cart against, you know, whoever.
Right.
You know, Lightning McQueen next to me that somebody made. And Optimus Prime on the other side of me. That game was beautiful, and it will always hold a special place in my heart.
Well, it's my turn to piggyback because I'm going to go with Fortnite as well.
Hell yeah. I thought you were going to go with Mod Nation.
Sorry. I mean, Fortnite invaded the culture the way I don't think any game ever has.
Yeah.
It took a formula that already existed in the form of Battle Royale. They didn't create that, but they perfected it. When the Save the World aspect of it was first released, a lot of people considered it a failure. When Battle Royale was first released, a lot of people considered it a failure. All of those people were proven incredibly, incredibly wrong. For the last few years, you cannot get away from Fortnite. It doesn't matter if you play games or not. I mean, you've got Star Wars, you've got Marvel in it, all of it. No game has ever invaded the culture the way that Fortnite did, and for that reason, it's got to be on the list.
I appreciate how early I was beating that Fortnite drum. Like, mm-hmm. I wanted everybody to get Fortnite. And I'm wrong a lot about the games I want you guys to get. Like, a lot. But some might say I was a visionary with that game. I wanted everyone
some
to
would
have
say.
It. Some, yep. I think we all have the physical copy because I lost my mind about that game. I wish I had an open mind because they sell for a lot of money sealed. So.
Yeah.
I should have kept mine sealed. You're up, Gerald.
Okay, my next game is Hitman Absolution on the PlayStation
3. Oh, Hitman. Wow.
PlayStation 3. So.
Wow.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah, that's a deep pick, yeah.
I'm not piggybacking off of that.
No, me either.
That game was fun.
I think I'm safe the rest of the way out of my list.
I might have a few that will get...
Yeah, I think I'm safe. So what is...
What about that one in particular?
Yeah, you play the new Hitmans. You're not as in love with them, right?
No. They had, I don't know, just I didn't like the seasons. Some of their stuff. That on Absolution was like everything the Hitman game should be. All the sneaking around, all the costume changes. It just seemed like perfect for me.
I'm terrible at those games. I just, so bad at them.
So that was basically the culmination of the Hitman games for you, like the perfectly done one. Kind of like Assassin's Creed 2 is for me with the Assassin's Creed series.
Yeah, it was like everything done right was the way I would want it in a Hitman game.
Right. I wanted to put Assassin's Creed 2 on my list so bad till I found out it came out in 2009.
Yeah. Sounds like a Fallout 3 to me. I'm like, 2009, are you sure? Check again. I don't think so.
What you got, Ryan?
So, like I said, I don't think I'm in any fear the rest of the way out. My next pick is Animal Crossing New Leaf, November 8, 2012, 3DS. Same thing, you know, I'm thinking about the Animal Crossing and the options I have for putting it on the list. The 3DS version was spectacular. Again, it was a proven formula. That's what Nintendo does. They take a great formula that they already have, and somehow they make it better every single game. And I love Animal Crossing. I can't wait for it to come out on the Switch. I hope some of you get it. I think none of you probably will. Maybe Gerald, once everybody quits playing it, he'll get it. but
that's the truth.
I love Animal Crossing. It's the kind of game he would love also. I tried to tell him that with Farm together, but he waited. Mm-hmm. Animal Crossing is amazing, and everyone should check it out if you have a Nintendo platform, because I really believe that's a game everyone can and will love. I don't think it has a target demographic. I think that game is all encompassing, much like Fortnite. I think Fortnite reaches all ages as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
So yeah, Animal Crossing.
All right. Well, my next pick is The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild.
Motherfucker. Thought I was good the rest of the way out.
Released March 3rd, 2017, obviously by Nintendo of America. The reason this is on my game is this game... Without this game releasing, I don't know the Switch would have become the powerhouse system that we've seen it become. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild released day and date with the Switch. It's everything you love about Zelda, but different, but the same, but different. And, you know, we talk all the time about system sellers, how we don't really see them anymore. Breath of the Wild was a system seller. This game sold the Switch, and I think has to claim some of the responsibility, if not most of it, for the Switch becoming as popular as it has. So for that reason, Breath of the Wild is my pick.
Good pick. It's a good game. But I'm not going to piggyback off that.
Okay.
I'm going really off the wall here.
Oh, yeah?
My next one is South Park Stick of Truth.
Oh, wow.
I can see that, though.
Yeah.
People love that game.
That game was awesome. I'm not really into turn-based games, but that one, the story line and the cutscenes during the action scenes were just, you didn't feel, to me, I didn't really feel that the turn-based style was there.
Were you a South Park fan?
Somewhat.
Yeah. That game is another game that snuck up on people. I don't think anybody thought that game was going to be as good as it was.
Right. Now, did that game make you more of a South Park fan?
No.
No?
The movie did. Actually, I didn't watch South Park until the movie came out.
No.
Did you play The Fractured Butthole?
Yeah, I played the demo of it a little bit. I borrowed it from my brother, and I just picked it up from, Target for $10.
Sweet.
The other day.
Nice.
Fractured Butthole and Stick of Truth on PlayStation 4. $10.
That's a good deal. You know, I like a deal. Mm-hmm. So Stick of Truth. So my next pick is going to be a piggyback, apparently.
He thought you were done with him.
The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, March 3rd, 2017. That game is the reason I was comfortable to tell people to buy a Switch. That game was incredible. I do not like Zelda. I do not like Zelda games. I love Breath of the Wild. I have 100-plus hours in that game, and I still, multiple times a year, think about going back to play that because I didn't finish the DLC. It was a game I couldn't stop playing, and I don't think it had as much to do with the Switch as it just did. That game was absolutely incredible. And that game deserves a spot on every list when you're talking decade or year or whatever you're pulling. I truly believe that's the best Zelda game ever made, and I still think to this date that's the best Switch game that's ever been made. Breath of the Wild's incredible.
All right. My next pick. Now it's time for me to get into some deep cuts. I would imagine this one's probably not on anybody's list. But my next game is Sleeping Dogs, released on August 14th, 2012 by United Front in Square Enix London.
That game's great.
Sleeping Dogs was, I've never really been a huge fan of open world sandbox games. Just because I get overwhelmed by how much there is to do. But Sleeping Dogs brought a story that I cared about, and it had so much heart in it. Plus it was an original IP that took that sandbox formula, and I thought improved upon it. It brought some good melee into the mix. It brought some good transversal into the mix, along with amazing gunplay. And the story was just outrageously good. It was, so to me, Sleeping Dogs is always going to be the penultimate of the, or the ultimate of the open box, open world sandbox games, and that does include the GTA 5s. I enjoyed Sleeping Dogs more than I enjoyed the Assassin's Creed's or the GTA's. Sleeping Dogs is the one I go to when that's an experience I want. So for that reason, Sleeping Dogs.
That game's incredible, and also the second United Front Games title, yes, to be on a game of the
who
decade
knew
list.
Who'd have thunk that, huh?
Now defunct United Front Games.
Yeah.
What's crazy about Sleeping Dogs is that's a game that was in turmoil during development.
Yes.
Like, that game had a rough development cycle and is incredible. The game is so good.
And I still remember, I mean, this is how important Sleeping Dogs is to me. I still remember the day it came out, you got it, mm-hmm. and I chose Darksiders instead. Those both released on the same day. Darksiders was a good game. It's no Sleeping Dogs.
Man, look, we're talking about my hits today. It's good to hear the hits. I got a lot of misses, but I hit on Fortnite. I hit on Sleeping Dogs. Man, it feels a little vindication today. It only took 10 years. We're able to find some bright spots. Go ahead and piggyback off that, Gerald.
Okay, I will actually piggyback a little bit off an open world game, Fallout 4.
Mm.
You did love you some Fallout 4.
Yes, I sure did.
I wanted to put Fallout on here, but I felt like it had to be Fallout 3. I didn't love New Vegas, but I fell in love. And I'm a guy that came to the party late as hell on Fallout 3.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be convinced. I think Matt convinced me to play it. I bought the Game of the Year edition. Was my first, Fallout 3 Game of the Year edition. That game was awesome. So,
see, I wouldn't have bought Fallout 4 if it wasn't for you guys, because we're all talking about playing it.
Yeah,
getting it. I went to the store and bought it just because you guys were talking about it. I never played 1, 2, or 3.
I try not to ever sit back.
I played 3.
Go ahead.
I played 3 and I played 4. I did not finish 4. I came so close, but for whatever reason, I got into something else. Fallout 4, it's a good choice. I do think Fallout 3 is a better game, but I understand why it can't be on this list.
Doesn't qualify. I try not to sit back and think about how many hundreds of dollars I've cost everybody. Because I won't stop talking about something. Everybody's like, yeah, I think I'll check it out. And it's terrible or it's good. That's another hit, though. Another hit from Gerald telling me.
Yeah, well, see, I played my $60 for that game.
What,
yeah.
Fallout 4?
Yeah.
It's pretty safe that if you convince Gerald to buy anything, he'll get his money's worth out of it because he just refuses not to.
Yeah, right.
Even it's if a it's choice garbage. He makes. Yeah. Even if it's terrible, he'll get his money's worth.
He played through Journey and hated it to platinum it, and it was free. What's that tell you?
Journey's good, too. I don't even know what's up with that.
I didn't mind Journey, but I didn't have the love for it that you did.
Yeah. Journey's. It's a fucking gem.
I heard.
My next game is safe from being on anybody's list. It is a Farming Simulator 2015.
Oh.
I feel comfortable that it's not on anybody's list. October 30th, 2014. If you want to know the impact that Farming Simulator has, then just search Farming right now on the PlayStation Network or Xbox One store or Marketplace or whatever the fuck they call it.
And watch what pops up.
There are a metric shit ton of farming games that exist in the realistic simulation category.
Uh-huh.
And while I've loved all farming simulators, this is the one that I fell the hardest for. That's why it's 2015 that's on the list and not 2017 or 2019. But
was this your first foray into the...
I think it was. I think this is the first one to come to console.
It's probably why there's something special in it for you.
Man. Like, if someone ever just sat down and was going to bang out a game for me. It's slow. It's a grind. And it's farming. I mean, it's pretty much hitting the things I need. My taste for games have really changed, over the last 10 years or so. And what I like out of a game. I've always liked weird stuff, but there's never been an easier time to be me when it comes to video games. There's no shortage of them cranking out weird shit like this.
Right.
And that's apparently a market that I underestimated, because there's probably 10 realistic farming games that exist right now. Mm-hmm. And most of them are some sort of annualization when it comes to their release.
Right.
So it's crazy. Right. Farming Simulator.
That pick makes perfect sense for you. not going to lie.
Go ahead, piggyback, man.
I got nothing to piggyback on that one. My next pick is Dark Souls, released September 27th, 2011, from Software and Namco Bandai. Listen, I'm going to start off saying I hate the Souls games.
Mm-hmm.
I have never played a Souls game. I have no desire to play a Souls game. Well, I should change that. I had no desire to play a Souls game for a very long time. That includes Bloodborne. That includes Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. But there is no denying the impact that Dark Souls had on gaming. Difficulty started to matter again. Having to be strategic and go in planning started to matter again in games. And it's carried on right through. It's still evident today. You know, this came out in 2011. Here it is 9 years later, 8 years later, whatever. And Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order just released essentially a Souls game. You can scale the difficulty, but it's the same aspect with the planning and the strategy. And the people there are, the people who love these games absolutely love these games. We actually have a listener that loves the difficulty and the planning and the time that goes into defeating the bosses and the enemies. It's for a long time. You know, I'm a baby mode guy. I'm not going to lie. I want to coast. I want to coast through my video games. I want to coast through life. I want to coast, period. But that doesn't take away from the fact that for a long time, games really were, there was a scaling difficulty, but it was essentially more hit points and less damage.
Mm-hmm.
And this changed that to where that difficulty became inherent in the initial gameplay, and that has carried through the decade. So for that reason, Dark Souls is on my list.
I want to play Bloodborne a lot.
I know. You said that last week.
Yeah. So I get it. We owe it all to the Souls.
To the Souls. Yes, we do.
Yep. I don't know that there's much to say about that game. There's no way to doubt the impact that game has had on just video games in general.
And that's why it's on my pick, even though I've never played any of them. Well, yeah. I played Fallen Order, but I, again, baby mode it. So, it's became very evident that difficulty, that challenge was something that was missing that people wanted.
We should play Bloodborne.
We should?
Yeah.
I might try it. I don't know.
Yeah, we should check it out. It was free. Gerald might play it too.
It was free at one point, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's in my library.
Yeah, it was free. You're up, Gerald.
All right. The last game I have on here is Star Trek Online.
Well, that's also, only nine games.
Yeah, you should have one more too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's only nine.
That is for sure nine.
Yeah. This is my temple.
Not
counting. One, two.
No, you should still have one more.
Two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Also counting.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wait. No, I see. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. There we go. Right. We got the math figured out now.
We're a video game show, not a math show.
Yeah. My next to the last one is a Star Trek Online.
You love that game.
You did, yeah.
Yeah. I played that in DC Universe, but for some reason I liked the Star Trek Online better than DC Universe.
It just started as you thought you could get like a platinum, right?
No, I just jumped in there to see how it was and just fell through it. Then I was like, wait, man, damn, I could probably get a platinum in this. But the grinding on that game is just
outrageous.
A lot harder than I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you have to beat the game as all three major races.
Damn.
And it just takes too long to do that.
Have you, do you still mess with it or are you totally done?
Yeah. No, I still mess with it.
That's crazy. After, oh, what, 2 years? How long has that game been around?
Yeah, I don't know.
My next game, we're going to stick with the theme. I've got a theme going over here. Stardew Valley.
Mm.
Stardew Valley took something that has existed for a long time in Harvest Moon and things like that, and one person was able to change the way that those games exist and how they're viewed and what's expected out of them. It is incredible. It is still incredible to this day. He continues to update it and everything like that. And Stardew is freaking awesome. There's no other way to say it than that it's freaking awesome. February 26, 2016. But the game is just incredible. And another game Gerald should have played. It's he likes a grind. That game is a grind, and it's brilliant. I mean, you've heard me rave about Stardew, and I would it sure deserves have. To be on a list for sure.
So. I've got it on my phone.
Hell yeah!
Oh, he's got Stardew on his phone. Nice. My second to last game is The Walking Dead Episode 1, released on April 24th, 2012 by Telltale Games. Again, this is another game that kind of changed the face of the way games played. We all know what the Telltale formula is at this point. Button presses, choices to change the game. This is the game that started it. This is the game that brought it into people's minds. And this is the game that caused it to... Granted, zombies were a huge thing at the time. That was probably part of it. Walking Dead was new. It was huge. But there's a reason Telltale didn't change their formula forever.
Right.
You know? Because it worked. And it worked in a number of other games. And there was another... Many developers actually took some version of the Telltale formula and entered it in. Don't Nod with the Life is Strange series used a version of that. They changed it up a little bit and did their own thing with it. But it's essentially still the Telltale formula. And so it's just another game that I don't think can be denied the impact that it had through the rest of the decade.
Yeah, I agree with that. Similar to my pick too, Stardew's and Walking Dead. Gerald, this is actually your 10th game.
Yeah.
My last
one. Not your fake 10th game.
Right. My real 10th, sorry.
Did you feel the shots fired from Dan when he said this is my second to last pick?
Yeah,
I know. I just wanted to clarify those all. Yeah. I needed to make it clear that it wasn't my 10th pick.
Here's not my last pick. I'm coming in with Walking Dead.
My last pick is No Man's Sky.
Oh, man, great game.
Nope. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a great game. I get that pick.
I do too. I see why it's another game that didn't start out great and didn't start out it actually what it was supposed to be. Although I enjoyed it. You enjoyed it. I think we all enjoyed it. But what it turned into, I think, overfulfilled the original mission statement.
Well, I beat the drum on that game.
It was one of the games I
beat the drum on that game.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be change lives.
We spent a lot of hours in that game.
Yeah, I spent a lot of hours. I mean, we all did, but when it sucked too.
Yeah.
And right. I enjoyed it. We liked that it. Way. Yeah. But you're right. That game has become, shout out to Hello Games for never quitting on that game. And like you said, not only achieving what they promised, but exceeding.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah. That's a game I think we could all play today.
Yeah, we talked about it before on the podcast. I think we talk about it every week.
Yeah.
We think about getting back into it.
Yeah, we tried a few months ago when it went, or they did the online thing. We all jumped in.
Yeah, and none of us knew
the
VR
thing, but it was complicated.
And none of us knew what we were doing. That's my biggest problem is I feel like I'd have to start over.
Yeah, but you can play the tutorial and then jump back into your save because the tutorial walks you through everything now.
Oh.
Yeah, so you could just start a new file, play the tutorial, and then jump back to your old save file.
Yeah, you probably maybe get 30 minutes, 45 minutes in, then you can jump.
Yeah.
Huh. Good to know.
My last pick, number 10. Not in order, but my 10th pick. Little Big Planet 2. January 18th, 2011. Little Big Planet couldn't be on the list. Little Big Planet 3 sucks. Therefore, Little Big Planet 2 is on my list. And I think everyone, unless this is episode one for you, knows my love for Little Big Planet and Sackboy and Media Molecule and that universe. And, you know, Little Big Planet's one of those games that makes me think about my dad. And there's probably no game that we played together more than the first Little Big Planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I will probably always buy those games and always think about those games because it does remind me of that and the hours that we spent together building levels together and playing levels together and trying to figure out how people did stuff and trying to figure out how to do stuff. I mean, I would pass out on the couch as a kid playing that game. I think I was an adult, but you know what I mean.
You were an adult.
Yeah, it's not that long ago. But I would pass out on the couch and I would wake up and he would still be playing at like 5 a.m. You know, working on a level we were working on together and stuff like that. And I've not played a game like that with my dad ever since. And I probably won't, you know, I don't live there anymore. And also he just doesn't play games the same way. But right. Yeah, that Little Big Planet's a special, special game for me. So Little Big Planet 2, which is a great game. I think the simplicity of the first one, I hold near and dear, but Little Big Planet 2 was pretty incredible too.
All right. Well, my last pick is definitely an out of left field pick, and none of you will have seen this coming. My pick is Mag, released on January 26, 2010 by Zipper Interactive and SIE for the PlayStation 3. There is a very specific reason for this game to be on there, and this game allowed for 256 people to be playing together all at once.
Mm-hmm.
This is the game that showed the capabilities that the internet brought to a console, showed what the internet was truly capable of with console play. Without Mag, I'm sure it would have happened at some point later on, but without Mag, you would not have seen the multiplayer explosion that we've had today, particularly in the MMO world. You know, with your Destinies, your Anthems, what's the other one that I'm missing?
Fallout? 76?
Fallout. Yeah, Fallout 76. All of those. Those would not exist without Mag doing it first. It actually reviewed very well. It just didn't sell well. I don't think the internet, it was probably a little ahead of its time. I don't think the internet was ready for that everywhere. But I think it really brought to the forefront, this is what the internet can do for you guys playing games on consoles. And I think it blew everybody's minds. So for that reason, Mag's on it.
Shout out to friend of the show, Patman, also, who loved and loves Mag.
Yeah.
And beats the Mag drum as well.
I just don't think you can deny what it showed people about the internet.
Massive action game.
That's what it stood for.
Mag. Zipper got fucked by the DDoS attack.
Yep. Yes, they did.
When SOCOM came out. That's actually was the death of Zipper. So that's it. That's the full list. Let's run down them. Gerald, just read you through your list, then I'll do mine, then Dan, you do yours for anyone who wants to keep up with it.
All right. We got to do them in the order we spoke of them?
You don't have to.
Okay.
Right, well, I'm going to because I have it.
I also will be doing the order, yeah.
Well, all right. I guess I kind of got to.
Pokemon Go, GTA 5/Online, Last of Us, Fortnite/Battle Royale. Hitman Absolution, South Park Stick of Truth, Fallout 4, Star Trek Online, then No Man's Sky.
I have Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception, Rocket League, Grand Theft Auto 5, Journey, Mod Nation Racers, Animal Crossing, New Leaf, Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, Farming Simulator 15, Stardew Valley, and Little Big Planet 2.
All right, I have Rocket League, GTA Online. Ooh. Where'd my other one go? What'd I have for 3? I can't remember.
Just freestyle it.
Okay. Oh, I had PT for 3. 4 was Gone Home. 5 was Fortnite. 6 was Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. 7 was Sleeping Dogs. 8 was Dark Souls. 9 was The Walking Dead. And 10 was Mag.
Those are our games of the decade. Again, there are games. They're probably not your games. Last week was our game of the year stuff. This week was our game of the decade stuff. If you've been on holiday mode and you haven't listened to either show, you can still send us your list. We'll read them.
Yeah.
Let's give you a 2-week deadline. So the next two shows, if we get your game of the year stuff or your game of the decade stuff over the next two shows, we will read them aloud. Because I know that you guys didn't have a heads up about this one. Now, Dan has left, Gerald. He got up, he left. I think what he's doing is going to purchase everything on my list.
He does it
hard. Yeah, because the picks were so good on my list that he's like, I can't wait.
You know, there's only 3 games that where they got more than on 2 people's list.
Really?
Yeah. Fortnite, GTA, and Zelda.
Rocket League.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. You two had Rocket League. Okay. Yeah. So 4 games.
Let me check that too. That sounds right.
But GTA is the only one that was on all 3 of ours.
Yeah, that's the only one that made the dual list, or the triple list, I should say, the trifecta. Uncharted 3. Yeah, you had Uncharted 4. No one else had Journey. We all had Grand Theft Auto. No Mod Nation. Rocket League was me and Dan. Oh no. Yeah, you're right. For me, and Dan had Breath of the Wild, and then the 3 of us had Grand Theft Auto.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting overlap there.
Yeah, when you guys threw out the timetable, Star Trek Online barely made it because it came out on PC in 2010.
Oh, yeah.
But on a PlayStation 4, it didn't come out in 2016.
Yeah, the PC screwed me over on Minecraft because it would have been on my list, and I'm sure yours as well.
Oh, yeah, that definitely was number 1.
Yeah.
What would have been on mine, too, just for the impact.
Man, we could have done another 3-way.
Hmm.
Our only threesome was Grand Theft Auto.
So, yeah?
Yeah. Dan's right. Back, by the way. I told him you left.
Oh, yeah. I ran away.
Yeah, he's back.
Had some bad shrimp last night or something.
Oh,
bad
shit.
Bad something.
Do you have some games that like almost made it that were surprising?
I do, but my brain is overwhelmed right now. I deleted my list that I had with excess on there, but I definitely had some stuff. I wanted to strong arm a VR title on there. So I almost put Beat Saber on there, but I just didn't. It was too soon. I also got hung up for a little while with putting a music game on there. Once I realized I wasn't going to put Beat Saber, I'm like, should I find a Guitar Hero or a Rock Band of some kind to force on here? When did fucking DJ Hero come out? You know, I went through that phase. But yeah, there was a lot of stuff that was borderline for me.
See, I had a tough time with some of the stuff because some of the stuff I kind of took a step back on some of them. And for example, like Life is Strange, everyone knows how much I love the first Life is Strange. It's probably one of my favorite games of all time. But Telltale, that wouldn't exist without Telltale. So how do I give that props and not Telltale?
Right. I'll be honest. If DJ Hero had come out in 2010, I'd probably blow this list up and put it on there.
You would? Just to have it on there?
Yeah, it was a 2009 game. I love DJ Hero. I think it's the best music game that has come out.
There was a time when music games were huge, but it was before the decade.
Yeah. So October, I think it was like October 2009 is when DJ Hero came out. And maybe it was just everything. I was at GameStop at the time. I went to the convention. They had them all set up there. They had a full concert. It was cool to play them. You know, you walk up, they gave you a shirt, they gave you a hat, and they let you play it before anybody else could. And you put on, you know, $1,000 headphones, and it sounded amazing. And then I got the Renegade Edition and the fucking table that folds out. I fucking love DJ Hero.
Yeah, you did.
And, when I wanted to put a music game on here and I was like, you know, I feel like I should have VR on here cause I love VR, and Beat Saber seems too new. Vacation Simulator seems like a stretch. So then I was like, I'll just do another music game. And then I was like, it's DJ Hero's the only one that would do justice. But it was too early. So a lot of the stuff that I struggled with wasn't games of this generation's. It was 2009 games apparently. Cause I looked up like 12 things that were all 2009. It was apparently a good year.
Yeah. Like I said,
same here.
I wanted to put Assassin's Creed 2 on her. Couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we made a list of all-time games, Assassin's Creed 2 would be at the top of my list. It'd be number one.
I thought Gerald would have an Assassin's Creed on the list.
Did you?
No, I didn't like any of the ones that came out for PlayStation 4.
Yeah, I thought you would. Well, you even had Brotherhood and...
Unity.
Unity wasn't good. What's the other after Brotherhood?
Black Flag.
Yeah, Black Flag. Black Flag was good. Odyssey.
See, I went off the games that I liked.
Yeah.
My top games.
But I thought you would like Assassin's Creed that much.
No.
Nope.
I thought you would.
He's just also, like, nope.
I forgot about Pokemon Go, but I thought you would put Fallout Shelter on there.
See, that was on my almost made it.
Yeah. And I was just sure that Dan was going to have Life is Strange on his list.
Yeah, I'm sure. PT came out of nowhere.
I didn't expect that. Demo on there. Gone Home, I actually did think he would put on there.
Gone Home was so good.
Yeah, that one did not surprise me, but yeah. I didn't expect The Walking Dead. My list sounds just like me, so there's no secrets on my list.
See, my favorite Telltale game was the Borderlands.
Yeah, I think that's most people's favorite Telltale game.
I like
universally,
Wolf Among
that's
Us myself,
most well received. Yeah, Telltale's back too.
I know they're doing Wolf Among Us too.
Like I said, I
came at this one a little differently. It wasn't just about me; it was about gaming in general. I wanted to look at it from that perspective to see what I would come up with.
Well, my list is just all about me.
Mine too.
And I was pleasantly surprised about some titles that I had. I kind of forgotten about,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's just some. It was just interesting. A lot of it was. It was interesting to me to do the research and find, be like, oh yeah, I remember that.
I got like four games that you can farm on my list.
Yeah.
I'm like, when did John Deere Harvest in the Homeland come out?
But yeah, like I knew PT would be a weird one for people.
Yeah, that's weird.
I knew Mag would be one people probably didn't see coming.
We were just talking about Mag not too long ago. With me. Or maybe on the show. Well, I don't know the difference.
Well, no, it was with you because I told you it was going to be on my list.
Oh, well, maybe that's it.
That's it. So that one you did know.
Yeah. But I don't have much of a memory, so I don't even remember when it happened.
But yeah, like that one. Yeah, like I said, I personally, if it was like a my favorite games list, Life is Strange would definitely be on there.
You're like, when did Advent Rising come out? When did Alpha Protocol come out?
It was Alpha Life of Tiger. Alpha Protocol would have made it.
Life of Black Tiger.
Alpha Protocol would have made it.
Yeah.
And I love that game. And I like Advent Rising. Fuck you. Advent Rising is a good game.
No, it's
I love the Mustard Brothers.
That you're going to have like Mass Effect.
Yeah, I thought for sure Mass Effect 1. But I didn't know when it came out.
Mass Effect 1 came out in 2008.
Yeah, see. I didn't check to see, but I thought if he could get the first Mass Effect on, he would.
I did think Mass Effect 2 was the best game of the three, but I feel like those games are best played because of what they do. I believe they're best played, all three of them.
Yeah.
I don't think you can just play one and get it. So.
And I thought flat out Gerald was going to break the timeline and put Minecraft on his list either way.
It didn't release for consoles until 2011.
I just knew he was going to fight with that argument, and just take it to the grave with him.
No, you. I had it on my list as like a maybe to see if you're going to say something, but you said that it has to be released on like original release. Like, damn,
I knew I was like, he's going to try to force Minecraft on here. But those are our list. Again, let us know your list. You can do it on Twitter @game_stitch. Whatever my app podcast Ryan @shirtlessDan @Hoffenshow. You can email us podcast@gamestitch.com. However you want to get us your list. Like I said, we'll give you 2 weeks, game of the year or games of the decade, and we'll read them on the show as long as you don't try to submit 30 games or something like that. Don't get silly. But yeah, if you want to send those to us, however you can get them, snail mail, pigeons, whatever you got, smoke signals, Morse code.
I can't read smoke signals, so you better send those to Ryan or Gerald.
Send a key along with your smoke signals, because I also don't understand how they work.
I could figure out Morse code, but
yeah, I could.
I know some people that can probably figure.
Yeah, Jill knows some smoke signal people.
What?
Work with some.
Some smoke signals. That's a dying art. The smoke signal.
It is.
Yeah, I'm sure someone I work with can figure something out.
A detective, I get it.
Well, all right then.
But yeah, let us know your list. Those are our list. Hope you had fun. Again, we're going back to normal episodes last week. Gerald, thanks for climbing through the busted glass window, cutting your hands all up, and joining us.
Yeah,
thanks for letting me come over and cook breakfast.
Oh shit, yeah. We're not together for everybody. That was a good lie.
There's lies. They're snuggling. I'm watching them on video.
I didn't say we didn't snuggle. I said we're not together.
You're cuddling right now. I can see it.
Yeah. I like a hard cuddle. But
couple bears.
Cub, I think, is what you could be.
No, I'm more of an otter.
I like otters. This is episode whatever, because we didn't send that email out.
363.
Again, we'll be back with a normal episode next week. We want to do something a little different. I think it was fun. We'll do it again in 10 years. Because that's how the decades work. And we'll be back next week, same time, same place. Good night.
Good night.